from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Oakland Athletics have clinched the American League West title for the second year in a row. The low-budget team of relatively unknown players has won 20 of their last 26 games and has some of the best pitching and hitting statistics in all of baseball this year. We're going to talk in this segment about what makes the A's great and which players to watch in the postseason and what their chances are for making it to the World Series. I want to welcome John Hickey, Oakland A's beat writer for the Oakland Tribune and the Bay Area News Group. Good to have you with us, John Hickey. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
Okay. Thank you for joining us. We're also going to be joined by Rick Tittle, who is a sports talk host of Titillating Sports on Sports Byline USA, and he's employed by 95.7 The Game, A's fans and A's fan and expert, and we're going to get him on the line here shortly as well. Let me begin, though, by talking with you, John. I should mention, by the way, that the A's clinched this Sunday at the Coliseum. They beat Minnesota. Texas Rangers lost, and that was really what cinched it. This is the second season. The A's are the American League West champions, 16th overall, and four of those have been back-to-back season title wins, and the first round of playoffs begins on October 4th. There seems to be a consensus, John, that this is a much better team than last year, because last year they just won and kind of down to the wire.
Well, yeah, I don't know that that's actually an accurate assessment. I guess people do, in fact, feel that way. This team is last year's team was really good and had to prove it over a six-week period where they stormed from 13 games behind. This team has played much better, much more consistently, which is the mantra that manager Bob Melvin preaches all the time. Consistency, and they've just been grinding it for 157 games now.
Well, Rick Tittle, do we have you here? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, good. Glad to have you. They're still an underdog going into the series, aren't they?
You know, I wouldn't say. I think on paper you could probably say that when you look, if they play Detroit and you look at Verlander and Scherzer and Sanchez and Fister as the four guys and how they were against the A's last year. But, I mean, the A's were just in Detroit last month. They beat Verlander. They beat Sanchez and Fister. They really should have beat Scherzer as well. That was the game where Balfour had the blown save. So I think maybe people in Vegas will look at the lineups and say, yes, the Tigers have the better team. But if you look at the overall season, and especially how the A's have played since September has begun, you could make a case for the A's being favored, especially if they would begin the series in Oakland.
Well, they're leading in home runs since the All-Star break, and they're actually managing more than six runs in September, beating good teams with quite an impressive record, 21-6 since mid-August, or really around the 25th of August. The thing that surprises me, Rick Tittle, maybe you can explain the bafflement, but it maybe is something that sports fans out here on the West Coast are used to, is the lack of national publicity.
Well, you're always going to, I mean, the way that, you know this as well as anyone, broadcasting goes through New York, and then, the East Coast people move to California, and then they run all the stations out here. And I worked in TV out here for 10 years, too, myself. So it's always going to be Yankees, Red Sox first. And then if you do talk about the Bay Area, they're going to talk about the Giants first. Even though the Giants are having a horrifying season, the third worst in the history of the defending world champ, people will still talk about them first. And that's something I'm third generation Oakland. That's something that it doesn't irk me anymore. I don't really need people in New York or the national or ESPN to jump on board. I know that does irk some people, but for the most part, baseball people, they know how good the A's are. I think maybe the general public-wise, that is correct, though.
And again, Rick Tittle is sports talk host with Titillating Sports, and John Hickey is the Oakland A's beat writer for the Oakland Tribune and the Bay Area News Group. And, John, they're saying that this is more a Moneyball team than the Moneyball team, or is this the new Moneyball team?
Yeah, I actually believe that a lot, that the actual Moneyball team had, three potential 20-game winners in a rotation and MVP at shortstop with Miguel Tejada. And in the movie, at least, you didn't really see that much because they were focused on the basic Moneyball philosophy. This team really is that. They have a lot of guys that, in Atlanta or Boston or Detroit, you may not know them, but these are players that have gelled really well together. They've spent a lot of time putting this team together, and it's the deepest team that I think Billy Beane has ever had. He's obviously the general manager, and they've spent so much capital on just being the underdog that they've taken that role to heart. You know, they believe that they're a great team, even if they're not perceived that way nationally.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you mention Billy Beane, because of course he's gotten so much attention, played by Brad Pitt and all that in the film. But a lot of people are saying giving a lot of credit to Bob Melvin here.
And well, they should. This is as good a managing job as I've ever seen. He uses a platoon in an era where the platoon has sort of gone away, where you'll play, for example, Brandon Moss at first base is a left-handed hitter, and then Nate Freiman was the right-handed hitter. He's hurt now, but you know they spend so much time going back and forth. You can't keep up with the lineups. I think they've used 140 different lineups. It's not easy to keep straight, but Bob Melvin has done that.
There's been more platooning, somebody said, I think, than Patton, George C. Scott. Actually, I just said that. Rick Tittle, how important is the home field advantage?
Well, you know what? It's not as important as football or hockey and basketball, because the fans are on top of you like that. But it is important, especially when you think about maybe not so much the series with the Tigers, but Boston has a very rare in baseball an extreme home field advantage, because that's more like an indoor venue at Fenway with the fans absolutely on top of you, and they're a hard team to beat in Boston. So.
They're still being favored, really, by the experts and bookies in this whole series, aren't they?
Well, they're the best team in baseball if you want to look at record, and so they definitely have a home field advantage. They know how to use that green monster. They play there 81 times a year. So, and even with the Tigers, you think about last year, it was a kind of a wonky situation. The first time they had two wild cards, the A's should have begun at home. They had to go to Comerica Park, and it would have probably worked out better had they started at home. But I think the interesting question for the A's now is, if they do start at home, is what the rotation is going to be. Because if you go Colon and Parker and Sonny Gray in game 3 or 4, his ERA on the road is 4.91. It's under 2 at the Coliseum. So they might consider using Gray, the rookie, in game 2 instead of game 3. These are the things, these machinations that are going on right now in the front office.
And what would you tell, Rick, say a fair weather fan? You know, we got a lot of those certainly now in the regatta we talked about in the last half hour, the first half hour segment. What should they watch for? I mean, you got Josh Donaldson, who people are screaming MVP like they did for Posey. And, you know, a lot of really exciting players here. But particularly, what would you highlight?
Well, you know, it's funny that John was talking about what Bob Melvin has done with this team. And I think of a French term, a couple of French terms, because of je ne sais quoi. I think maybe the joie de vivre that they have with this team and the esprit de corps that they have with this team, because they don't really have a star. And Donaldson, I would probably say, is fourth or fifth in my MVP voting, which is remarkable considering when he got sent down for the second time last year, we never thought he would come back. And had Brandon Inge not gotten hurt, he might still be in the River Cats or out of the organization. So he's been remarkable, but they don't really have a guy that they lean on. And so you can look at a guy like Coco Crisp, who's been just as important to the team as Donaldson has been. You can look at fan favorites like an Eric Sogard, a guy who I didn't think would make the team out of spring training. They have a catching situation with a guy like Steve Vogt, who was, you know, a 28-year-old rookie who didn't think he was going to play Major League Baseball. They just have so many of these great stories. You look at Bartolo Colon last year, who looked like his career was over after the PED thing. He came back, actually got a raise, and he was a 40-year-old all-star. So they really are It's hard to call them underdogs when Bob Melvin has had such a remarkable last 2 years. But when you look at them, it's not so much as a team, but individuals, I think you can really get behind some of these stories.
Talking about the Oakland A's, they are in the playoffs. They are the American League West champions. And are you excited? What are your thoughts about the Oakland A's? I'd like you to join the conversation here, and the time to do that would be now, as you look ahead toward the possibility, actually, not only of the World Series, but what's coming up, playoffs beginning on October 4th. And feel free to join us now. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone calls. Again, the Oakland A's have clinched the American League West title for the second year in a row, and it's a low-budget team, fifth lowest budget in major leagues. Relatively unknown players, but they've won 20 of their last 26 games, and they have some of the best pitching and hitting statistics in all of baseball this year. So if you'd like to comment and join our conversation, you can do it now at our toll-free number again, which is 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments immediately onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Well, what do you think the A's chances are? You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum, or go to our Facebook page. We're talking to Rick Tittle, sports talk show host for Titillating Sports on Sports Byline USA, and he's employed by 95.7 The Game, A's fan and expert, and John Hickey, Oakland A's beat writer with the Oakland Tribune and the Bay Area News Group. And hear from some of you, not only from Oakland, but beyond Oakland, but people in Oakland, how are they feeling these days, John Hickey, about Lou Wolf and about the possible, well, the San Jose thing and low attendance in spite of all this?
You know, that's always going to be a problem. It cropped up last week when another of the sewage malfunctions that habitually the trouble the Coliseum. You know, the place is almost 50 years old, and it's past its prime, it's safe to say. And there's been talk for 5 or 6 years about going to San Jose, and I think that inhibits people from rooting for the team that's here now, because there's, you know, the long-term investment wouldn't seem to be rewarded.
Yeah, but you suddenly have Lou Wolf talking about a downtown ballpark and all of that, almost as if he's trying to say, this is not what you think.
Yeah, I think he was talking about downtown ballparks in the sense of, in a general sense, that's where baseball is, downtown. I don't think he was saying, let's revisit Oakland downtown, because I don't think there's enough money in Oakland to get the project off the ground. Would Oakland love to keep the team and put it in downtown Oakland? Yeah. They had a chance when Jerry Brown was the mayor there. They went instead with all urban housing, and the ballpark was pushed aside, and it's not as feasible as it was 10 years ago. San Jose, on the other hand, has the land and the will. Oakland has the will, but not the land.
And they also have a decrepit Coliseum. Rick Tittle, how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, right now the A's management, they can't go anywhere. There's no place for them to go at this point. And I've always maintained, and I'll admit I'm a little bit biased as a East Bay, you know, lifer, that they don't need a new stadium. They want a new stadium. We're talking about this stadium not even 50 years old. Back east, you've got a stadium 100 years old in Fenway. You got a 100-year-old park in Chicago and in Wrigley Field. And, you know, it's sort of like if I had a plumbing issue in my house, I guess if I was rich, I would just buy a new house. But otherwise, I would fix the plumbing. So, I mean, the thing that they went with was that we can't survive here. We can't win here. And then I look up and, you know, I'm not an elderly man, and I've seen them go to 6 World Series and win 4 in that stadium. You saw what happened last year. But, I mean, John's right about the management. If you say, if you own a restaurant and then you say the food here stinks, we hate it, we can't wait to leave, do you really think a lot of customers are going to come show up? There's always going to be a core of about 10,000 A's fans that are going to go no matter what. But there are a lot of people out there that, you know, weigh the ups and downs of how do I spend my hard-earned money and is this team committed? But I firmly believe there is way more than enough money
to support the team. You go to Piedmont and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a millionaire. It's just a matter of people want to get on board and how they would end up paying for that stadium, because the days of Jacobs Field in Cleveland where a city hands you a stadium, those days are over.
Yeah, and I'm a Clevelander, and it's been a sore spot about attendance at Jacobs Field, even though Cleveland has been competitive. Never heard that metaphor about the dead cat before, by the way.
Yeah, I got that in England.
Let me go to some callers here. It sounds British. Shantia is our first caller up. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Just want to start by saying I'm a huge A's fan, have been for a long time. And my question is, coming from the All-Star break, they have 71 or 72 home runs, which is the most in the majors. And they're up there in RBIs as well. How are the stats since the All-Star break? Are they more important? Are they less important to compare teams in the playoffs across the board?
Yeah, it's a good question. They've been leading in home runs since the All-Star break. How important is that, John Hickey?
I think it's very important because it's how you're playing now. It's when it, when a team gets hot, and this team is hot right now. It's the kind of role you can carry over into the postseason. They're playing so well, in fact, that they're only one game behind Boston in the battle for the best record in the American League, and they could, in fact, without too much trouble, wind up with the best record, in which case they wouldn't face Detroit at all. They would face, at this point, it would be either Cleveland or Tampa Bay as the team coming out with the wild card. So to be on a roll like they've been on since the All-Star break is, I think, very important.
And I thank Shantia for that call, and I go right to another caller. Adam, hi, you're on Forum. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm just wondering, after sabermetrics have been widely adopted by all the teams in the major leagues, and that sabermetrics being the tactics focused on in Moneyball, if you guys can identify anything that Billy Beane's doing differently from everybody else that continues to make that team successful.
Rick Tittle?
Well, it's funny. In a way, they've kind of gotten away from it a little bit. It used to be whatever you do, don't swing until you get a strike, and the whole thing about buying wins and not buying players, and that's certainly true. Like I'm as I speak to you right now, I'm in Anaheim, and here's a team in the Angels that spent $75 million on C.J. Wilson last year, spent $250 million on Albert Pujols, who's not even playing, Josh Hamilton, millions and millions for them, and you see where that's gone as well. But the A's have also, they've cast a wide net and brought in a lot of players over the years. We talked about how many guys have come in, and they actually, find a gem once in a while. The starting shortstop was supposed to be this year this guy, Hiroyuki Nakajima. I went to the press conference, and he charmed all of us, but then there was an opportunity right after that to get to Jed Lowry, so they traded Carter and Peacock and Stassi to the Astros to bring him, and Nakajima never even saw the light of day in Oakland. So there's no sort of grand plan that's put into place in spring training. Being a GM in baseball, you have to sometimes change your plan of attack day by day, but investing in young pitchers, that's never a bad idea.
But the caller is essentially right that, Michael Lewis's book and all the fanfare about Moneyball made it understandable to every team, every franchise.
Yeah, and they were doing that in Boston. Bill James, when he started that whole Sabre deal, they were doing it in Boston, and Theo Epstein tried taking that to Chicago. That hasn't worked out on the south side, or the north side, I should say, for them. Just yet. But yeah, when you look at it, let's buy runs, let's not buy players. It's funny, though, there are, as I just mentioned, there are still teams think that if I buy the star player, everything will go all right for us, and that's not always the case.
I want to read a few of our listener comments here. Jen writes, the personalities on the A's are fantastic. Josh Donaldson not only leads the team as the acknowledged MVP on the field, his absent dad also saw him play sports for the first time in person this year. Brandon Moss is crushing the ball in the major leagues, but was a strikeout away from going to Japan last year. Jonas Cespedes escaped from Cuba, his family following behind in a harrowing story, won the home run derby this year and is having a monster September. Billy Beane and Bob Melvin deserve immense credit for their strategy of using platoons to get the most out of each player and getting the team to buy in to the idea of individuals playing less so that the team wins more. And on our Facebook page, Marianne writes, they play as a team. No egos. There is no I in team. Go A's. And another listener writes on Facebook, let's go Oakland. Thank you for taking the time to talk about our Oakland Athletics. We'll bring another caller in, and that's you, Jack. Hi.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for this wonderful topic. Big A's fan. Hey, you just talked about what I want to talk about is that I just saw Moneyball again for the umpteenth time and watching the Ken Burns segment about the 50s and the Yankees. And it said in there that Stengel used to platoon the players, the lefty righties against the pitchers. And I never knew that. And now that, you know, Melvin and Bean are doing that, in my mind, oh, this is something somewhat new, but in actuality, it's not.
Well, as a kind of faux baseball historian, I can tell you you're absolutely right. I remember Casey Stengel doing that. I don't know if you guys are old enough.
Well, you know, that was actually born in Oakland. He was manager of the Oaks and the
PCO, right.
And took Billy Martin, and that, with that, you could say that was born right here in the East Bay.
And it's Johan Cespedes, by the way. I didn't want to abort his name.
I hate to correct you on your own show. Johannes Cespedes.
Johannes Cespedes. Thank you, and thank you, Jack, and another caller from San Rafael. Richard, join us.
Yeah, boy, you know, Hollywood has nothing on what's going on. And I was so happy to be at the game last year when they clinched in the 162nd game. I was at the game on Sunday. You know, I'm from the Bronx. I grew up as a Yankee fan. And that went, I flushed that away when Steinbrenner bought the team because he was an absolute jerk. I became a Giants fan out here, and I bailed out on that because of the way the Giants sucked up on to Barry Bonds all those years. I thought that was disgusting, and switched over to the A's, you know, thinking, well, what the hell. But I have never been so excited about baseball in my life. This is unbelievable. You know, last year, all these no names, Jared Parker, Tommy Malone, Brandon Marsh, Sean Doolittle. Who ever heard of these people? And then to see that game last year when they're down 5-1 in the third inning, and you know everybody's thinking, well, it was a great season, and then you know miracles start happening all over the place. So you know, I just for all those who are, you know, for Billy Bean and for Bob Melvin. These guys are geniuses with what they have to work with money-wise and proving that it doesn't take money, it takes heart. So, you know, I'm just delighted to be an A's fan, and it's been just a fantastic season, a great diversion from all the crap that's going on in the world.
Love your enthusiasm, Richard, and you remind me of the damn Yankees musical. You got to have heart. Thank you for that call. Good to hear from you, and let's go to another caller here, and that's Colette in Berkeley. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering two things. One, if there's been any conversation about how good this would be for Oakland as a city. I happen to really believe in Oakland, even though, you know, I'm closer to Berkeley. I've seen a lot of good things happening in Oakland. And I just, I think they need some ownership of their Coliseum, and I'm just a little shocked sometimes at the salaries versus the repairs and what needs to happen for them to stay here in Oakland. And then I have another comment.
Well, let's hear first from John Hickey and Rick Tittle. What do you think about, gentlemen, the effect of this, the impact on the city of Oakland?
I think it's a great psychological impact. There will be some short-term financial impact with the postseason coming to town, but it's not going to get at the core of Oakland's issues. I mean, I've lived in Oakland most of my adult life, and I really like the city. And I recognize there are some problems. You know, financially, it's there's some hard times here. So it's I don't think it's a long-term solution, you know, just to have winning baseball, but it's a good step.
Well, it certainly helps the spirit of the city. But Rick Tittle, anything else that we can look for in a positive way?
Well, I think you know, it's first of all, the ownership because Oakland can come up with plans, and I've gone to planning commission meetings, I've gone to City Hall. Mayor Kwan has asked me to MC three rallies in the past, and I've loved doing it, standing on the steps of City Hall where my great-grandfather was when President Taft cut that ribbon. I got a lot of love for Oakland, and some of the things John said is right, but before they can get to a Victory Court or a Howard Terminal or a Coliseum City or any other of the plans, the ownership has to want it, and they've already written an official letter years ago saying that they have, quote-unquote, tried every option in Oakland, and they're done looking. So we can make all the plans we want in Oakland for a stadium and how it will be funded and where it will be and where the land will be and all the other infrastructure for that. But if the guy doesn't want to move the team to that new place, then you're sort of putting the cart before the horse. So we're sort of hoping the people that like me that want to stay the A's, that want the A's to stay in Oakland, they want this ownership to sell to someone who will keep them here, because I can't see any scenario outside of giving Lou Wolf a free stadium where he would want to stay.
Well, it may be fortuitous, but one of our regular listeners named Gene Kwan is on the line here over the transom. Mayor, good to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. So I can't hear who that was, but it's absolutely right. You know, since I became mayor, I felt like the clinch hitter at the bottom of the ninth. But we have pulled together two scenarios, both at the Coliseum and at Howard Terminal, and we told Major League Baseball that we would make them both available. We are on schedule, and we have a group of CEOs who are very clearly willing to buy the team. In fact, I hear there's rivalry now that there's so many people interested in buying the team to keep it in Oakland. I think it's the Tribune Sports Writer. I'm sorry, I think your San Jose bias is showing, but we have real two projects that are totally fundable. We have been trying to reach out to Lou Wolf. We have gone ahead and tried to make now Howard Terminal available, and that you'll hear more about that before the end of the year. And we pulled together a group of people who are just adamant about keeping the team in Oakland and willing to close the gaps in the financing to make sure that they could have a new stadium. All I can say is let's go, Oakland. We're ready. We hope Major League Baseball will work with us so that this city has a lot of heart. And I was really angry when people were saying that the fans are not tough. I mean, anybody who was there at the end of the season last year and watched people give that team a 20-minute standing ovation knows that the fans in this area love the A's. And if the owners will meet us halfway, we'll fill the new stadium readily.
Well, good luck. And thank you for calling. That's Mayor Gene Kwan. Thank you, John Hickey, Oakland A's beat writer. Thank you, Rick Tittle, sports talk show host for Titillating Sports. And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening, and another hour of Forum up ahead. Thanks to senior editor Dan Zolan, to our producers, Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, and our engineer is Danny Bringer. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.